Well, you probably read in the bulletin the title of the message this morning, Do You Talk to Yourself? When I was a kid growing up, what I was told as a child was it was okay to talk to yourself. If you started answering, then you better seek some help. But other than that, you were okay. Do you talk to yourself? I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the answer for you. The answer is you do. You talk to yourself. Some people who make studies of these kind of things say that within our minds, within our processes of verbal communication, even though it may be silent, that we speak between 30 and 50,000 words a day. Now, that doesn't mean audibly, but that means that our mind processes somewhere in that's a lot. That'll fill some pages. But anyway, do you talk to yourself? Yes, you do. You also listen to yourself. Back in October, Carol and I were at a couples retreat in Virginia. It was in the area where Harold and Debbie Vaughn live, and they had a couples prayer retreat there. We went down on a Friday. Well, actually, we went down on Thursday. There was a Thursday evening service and then sessions all day Friday and Saturday morning. And this concept that I'm going to present to you this morning, and it's found in this passage that Mike has just read for us, and it's found in many passages of Scripture, but it's one that I had never been introduced to before. But I want to tell you before we get there that what I'm talking about this morning is biblical. We talk to ourselves, we listen to ourselves, and we need to be aware of what is taking place and who we listen to or how we talk to ourselves. Now, that probably sounds like a lot of mumbo jumbo. Right now, you understand what you are doing. You are listening. I am talking. You are hearing the words that I say, and you clearly understand. All of us do the difference between listening and talking. And at various points throughout our day, we're either talking or we're listening to ourselves. So do you talk to yourself? We're going to consider that in our walk. We're going to consider that in our weapons. We're going to consider that in our winning. In our walk with the Lord, do we talk to ourselves? Well, the Apostle Paul begins this passage in chapter 10. In fact, he's kind of talking to himself. He says, now I, Paul, myself. I, Paul, myself. He's talking to the Corinthians, but he's thought this out as the Lord is giving him inspiration, and the Lord is instructing him to introduce this by three things that reflect back on Paul. I, Paul, myself. Now, he is dealing with something here as he begins this passage that he has dealt with before where the Corinthians are concerned. Because what they are saying about Paul is that when he comes into our midst, he's base. Now, the Scripture doesn't mean there that he was crude or inappropriate in what he was saying. The word base means lowly, means with humility. But when he's away from us, he sends us these powerful letters. And we wonder when he comes again, is he going to be lowly or is he going to be powerful and bold? Well, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, I can be bold in person if I need to be, and I will do that. But I'd like to come to the church at Corinth, and I'd like to see that those problems of division and some saying, well, I follow Paul, and I follow Peter, and I follow Christ, and I follow Apollos. Those things need to be laid aside. We are followers together of Christ. So the Apostle Paul is speaking about that, and he's talking to them, and he's saying, you may think that I'm lacking in eloquence. I may be appearing to you to be rather fearful and just kind of fickle, but I want you to understand that I'm trying to demonstrate the meekness and the gentleness of Christ Jesus. You see that in your Bibles there in the very first verse where he talks about, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. I've talked many times about that word meekness. It's really a word that's misunderstood, particularly as it is used in the Bible. Because meekness is not rolling over and playing dead. Meekness is power and strength that is under control. As I prepared the message, I thought about Christ as he was on the final night before Calvary. He was before three leaders, one religious leader, Caiaphas primarily, and then Herod and Pilate, and he actually appeared two different times to Pilate. So he was with religious leaders, he was with governmental leaders, and he was giving an account. And Caiaphas wanted to trap him in his words. And Caiaphas wanted Christ to acknowledge, are you the Son of God or not? Do you claim to be God, and do you think you are God? And Christ answered that question for Caiaphas. Almost said Pilate there. He answered that for Caiaphas. That was the issue for the Jews, is this man claiming to be God? The Romans didn't care about that at all. The Romans had plenty of gods, and you could worship any god you wanted to worship as long as with your worship you included the worship of Caesar. If once a year you were willing to go to a Roman altar and drop a little incense over an open fire, you were good to go. So when they accused Christ, they couldn't bring against him religious charges. But you remember Caiaphas tore his priestly garments. He rent them from him. He said, this is blasphemy. This man is deserving of death. But now they're going to Pilate, and Pilate on to Herod, and then back to Pilate again. Again, that's not going to fly. So they say he's an insurrectionist. He's stirring up the people. He's going to bring the people against Rome, and he's going to equip an army in some means. And, of course, that is a problem for Herod. That is a problem for Pilate. The meekness of Christ, the strength that he had as he goes before these leaders. Herod, he had nothing to say. Herod was interested in magic. Herod was interested in being entertained. Christ wasn't going to meet him on that level in any way at all, because there was nothing of his heart behind that. Pilate was a different story altogether. And Pilate did want to know, and I think he asked sincerely, what is truth? And Christ gave him the truth, but he did not act appropriately on it. But Christ saw in Pilate what was in his heart, and he spoke to him, and he answered his questions forthrightly. But through all of that, knowing that he has just come from Gethsemane, and he has wrestled in deep agony with the Heavenly Father, and yet he is in control of each of those situations. And Pilate says to him at one point, don't you understand? Don't you understand, man, that I have the power to condemn you? And Christ looks at him. Again, meekness. What is that? It's strength that is being used in an appropriate way. It is strength that is used in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God. And Christ says to Pilate, you would have no power over me whatsoever if it were not given to you by my Heavenly Father. Pilate is convinced he is no threat to Rome. He is convinced of that. But he's unwilling to say, let him go free. We won't pursue that any further. But Paul is saying here, meekness. He's saying, I come to you with that attitude. I come to you with gentleness. I come to you with the meekness of Christ. I come to you with the gentleness of Christ. And gentleness is sweet reasonableness. It is kindness. And so that is the way he wants to approach the Corinthians. And what he is focusing in and where he is coming down is when he talks about bringing every thought into subjection to the person of Christ Jesus. That we can bring as believers in our walk with the Savior. That we are not walking after the flesh, Paul says. But we want to be pleasing to the Lord. And everything that comes out of our mouth, we want that to be honoring to the Lord. We want that to be something that will reflect well on our testimony. Now, I'm laying the foundation for what I want to tell you this morning. Several weeks ago, in a message again out of 2 Corinthians, I had us turn to the book of Romans, chapter 7. I probably read 10 or a dozen verses out of that particular portion of Scripture. And I said to you, I just made some comments as we read down through. I said, there is a description of the believer's two natures. A person who is unsaved has only one nature, their old human nature that we were all born with. A believer has two natures because when Christ comes into our lives through the Holy Spirit, as 2 Corinthians says, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so now we have two natures. We have a nature that is of God's Spirit living within us, and we still have our old human nature. And this matter of listening to ourselves and talking to ourselves brings into focus these two natures. And what we want to do as believers is we want to focus on what the new nature, what the Lord is speaking to our hearts. With that said, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we'll be turning there several times this morning. But let's look at Psalm chapter 15 and verse 2. Psalm chapter 15 and verse 2. My Bible says that David is the writer on the human level of this psalm, and I'm sure your Bible says the same, a psalm of David. It says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Notice that he speaketh the truth in his heart. That David is talking clearly about a person that knows the Lord. Now, I know sometimes people talk about Christians in the Old Testament. I'm running down a rabbit trail here for a minute. David was not a Christian in the sense of Christians after the time of Christ. He was a believer in the one true God. He was a believer in the God, the triune God that is set forth, by the way, in the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. But he was an Old Testament believer. He is referring here, he is writing this verse to and about people who believe in the one true God by faith. He says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. The only person that can do that is a person who is believing in the Lord. And he says, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, in this dispensation, in this age of grace, again, each of us has the Holy Spirit living within us. The Holy Spirit speaks truth to our hearts. And we need to hear his voice, and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our hearts. Now, while we're in the book of Psalms, let's take a minute and look at chapter 19 and verse 14. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14. And there the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So he's saying, he's talking about the words that he speaks. But behind that, he is saying, and the meditation of my heart. And that's where we want to be this morning as we think about this. What is coming forth from the believer's heart? Because again, we still have this old nature, but we also have the new nature. So who is controlling? Who is leading? Who is directing? Are we listening to our old nature? Or are we speaking truth to ourselves, which again can only come through the Spirit of God who lives within us? Okay, do you talk to yourself in your walk? And Paul uses that word two times in the passage that we're looking at, but he's talking about, I'm not walking after the flesh, I'm walking after the Spirit of God. Do you talk to yourself? Let's consider our weapons. I'm back now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Look in your Bibles at verses 4 and 5. The scripture says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We are not using physical swords, pistols, knives, that kind of thing. They are not our weapons. Our weapons of our spiritual warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, what I'm going to tell you what we're going to look at in this scripture and what we've already partially looked at. The old nature basically does one of two things at any particular time in our lives. He is either exalting himself so that we become filled with pride, or he is trying to get us discouraged, defeated, depressed, disappointed, whatever word that begins with the letter D that fits into that category. That's what the old nature is trying to do. So he is either up here or down here, but he's not doing. The old nature is not bringing to us anything that is helping us in our walk with the Savior. He's not doing anything that is beneficial to the child of God. But he is operating, again, in one of two areas. That's why the Apostle Paul was instructed by the Spirit of God to say it the way he did. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's the pride. If you were here last Sunday evening, you will remember that we talked about the origin of Satan. Where did Satan come from? How did we get such a being as Satan? I'm not going there this morning. I'm just referencing that to say that pride originated, first of all, in Satan, Lucifer. He was the first being that God had created where pride was found. He took that pride to the Garden of Eden. He set that before Eve. He said, "Eve, the Lord isn't telling you the truth. You eat of the forbidden fruit and you will be like God. You will be a God yourself." What is that? That is pride. Lucifer rebelled against God because he was filled with pride. I will be like God. I will be God. I will exalt my throne above his throne. I will exalt myself above the other angels, and I will be God. Now, I said to the congregation last Sunday evening, if we're honest with ourselves, we deal with pride at some point in our life. Look at me. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have accomplished. We may not even speak those words out, but in our minds, in our thoughts, as we are talking to ourselves, we have thoughts of pride. Now, where does that come from? Obviously not from God. It comes from that old sin nature. Now, that's the one extreme. The other extreme is what I said a moment ago, and that is to get us defeated, down, discouraged, depressed, however you want to describe it. We're back to the Psalms. Keep your place here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's go to Psalm chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. Psalms chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to read the verse and then I'm make a comment. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, as that verse begins, and I'll say David is speaking there, who is he talking to? Is he offering a prayer to God? And I think we would agree he is not. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why am I feeling discouraged? Why am I feeling down? Why am I feeling defeated? Why am I feeling depressed? He is not offering that as a prayer to God. He is saying to his soul. He is saying to himself, O my soul, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Now he's not just listening. In those two phrases, he's listening to himself. Now he's speaking. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, now he's talking to the Lord. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. That discouragement that he is feeling, he now transfers that, and by prayer he's got the Lord involved. And he's saying, Lord, I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. I'm down. I'm disappointed. Hear me. Hear me, Lord, and help me. I'm calling out. I'm reaching out. I'm coming to you in prayer. I'm asking you, Lord, to intervene and to help me. Now, I'm just wired this way, okay? I have to take that, and I have to ask you, are you ever there? Do you ever get up in the morning and for no even particular reason that you can identify, you feel blue? You're disappointed. You're discouraged. There is some feeling of defeat in your heart and in your life. Now, again, you would agree with me where that comes from. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to deal with it? You need to talk to yourself. The Spirit of God, which lives within us, if you're a child of God, the Spirit of God, which lives within you, needs to speak and needs to say, and at that point, we draw upon the scriptures. We're talking here in this second point about the weapons of our warfare. Well, what are the weapons of our warfare? Well, right here. All the weapons of our warfare, and before I get done with this point, I'll at least mention more than one or two, although I won't preach about them. But everything that we know spiritually, everything that we know as far as the truth is concerned, is right here. So what do I say when self comes out? And I had a morning like that this week. I don't even remember what morning it was, and it doesn't matter. But for some reason, I just knew I didn't feel like I normally feel. I wasn't sick. I started to wait. What you do is a lot of us have life verses. If you have a life verse, that's a good time to roll out your life verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. What about Romans 8:28? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God. A lot of you have that verse committed to memory. What about 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What about Jesus' words in John 10:10? I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. When he's talking about life the first time, he's talking about eternal life. When he's talking about more abundantly, he's talking about this life. A lot of us in the last year have learned 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You talk to yourself. down, discouraged, defeated, prideful. And I just reflect on what I have done. Boy, was that a piece of work. And when you start thinking the right way, you realize I'm not giving God the credit. I'm not, for whatever that might be, I'm not honoring Him in it. So I need to be reminded again of who I am and who the Lord is, and I need to talk to myself. Is that making sense? Is that communicating? Is that getting down to where we are? You cannot listen to yourself. You have to talk to yourself. And I'm using self in two different ways. When you're listening to self, when you're listening to the old nature, you're going down the wrong path. When you're listening to the new nature, you're bringing into your life that which is honoring and which is pleasing to the Lord. Now, we have been looking at this in an Old Testament setting primarily. The verses I've just quoted are passages that help us to talk to ourselves. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. The scripture says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, I have gone to that passage of scripture time after time after time, in sermons, in lessons, just in settings like this, many, many times, talking about being filled with the Spirit. And up until October of this year, I interpreted it that one way. When it says, first of all, to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I have interpreted that as that's what we do when we fellowship together as believers. We encourage one another. We sing. We come together. We've sung here this morning. Our hearts have been lifted as Denny had us sing a cappella. We've been spoken to as Evie brought her special music, as Tanya played the offertory, and Cindy, and she played the prelude, and we heard that music, and I thought that's something we do together as believers. We fellowship together, and we share concerns, and we share needs, and we share burdens, and we share victories, and we share answers to prayer. And I've interpreted those verses that way. That's an outward expression. Now I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to tell you what I had not seen before. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that verse is not saying don't do what we just did about praising the Lord. But what it's primarily saying is that you are talking to yourself. What you do in your heart. That you are singing praises to the Lord in your heart. Psalms, the Word of God that you have hid in your heart. And the hymns and the spiritual songs, you are singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're talking to yourself. And when you talk to yourself that way, you are growing stronger in the Lord. You are taking this mind that God has given to you. And by the way, the human mind, fabulous. I know I've said this probably in the last 2 months, but it is the most sophisticated. It is the most absolutely technological bit of matter that there is in the entire universe. The human mind, there is nothing else comparable to it anywhere at all. It is just beyond imagination. And what the Scripture is saying here to us that we're looking at this morning, bringing every thought into the subject of being obedient to the Lord. I can tell you right now, and I'm not being sarcastic when I say this, but if you have arrived at that point, you are not here any longer. You are with the Lord. To bring every thought. But the Apostle Paul is saying that that's where we need to go as believers. That's what we need to desire. That we are talking to that old nature and saying, you're not going to control me. You're not going to be directing my life. I'm not going to allow you, by the Spirit of God that lives within me and by the Word of God that is in my mind and my heart, I'm not going to let you lead me into being defeated, disappointed, discouraged, down, and depressed anymore. I'm not going to allow you to fill me with thoughts of pride that I received from my first parents, Adam and Eve, who thought they could be gods. I'm not going to be led down that way. I'm not going to get so far away from the Lord that I'm living my life in my own strength, that I'm not meeting the Lord in a daily time of prayer, that I'm not fellowshipping with the Lord, that I'm not spending time with Him, that I'm not reflecting upon Him. I'm not going to let you get me to the point where I no longer am honoring the Lord, pleasing the Lord, having a heart for Him. I'm just out here doing my own thing in my own way. And yes, I am a believer, but I'm not really doing too much with that. The weapons of our warfare. Well, I've talked about a couple of them. And certainly prayer is one of them. And the Word of God is one of them. Here's one we don't talk about too much, and I promise you I won't get off on that for long. But what about fasting? Look at the New Testament sometime about fasting. And just having a burden for something or someone to the point where we can miss a meal, just to spend a little more time with the Lord, witnessing, telling others of Christ, giving. Weapons of our warfare, serving, obeying, loving God, loving others. They're the weapons of our warfare. Those are the things that we talk to ourselves, that we put into our mind. It's already there by the Holy Spirit, and we are acknowledging those things, and we are following those things, and we are being obedient to those things. And I'm not going to let, by the grace of God, I said by the grace of God, I'm not going to let this world system and all the problems that are in this world drag me down to the point where I'm having trouble functioning. I'm having trouble having a focus and a heart for anything else, because all of these things that are out there to pull us away, to discourage us, We have to talk to ourselves, because again, that old nature, until we go to be with the Lord, that old nature is there. But that old nature doesn't have to be winning the battle in our lives. And Paul is talking about that very thing in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Speak to yourselves. There it is, talking to yourself, the things that will edify you and help you to live for the Lord. I didn't have this thought before, but here it is. We are believer priests. We are believer priests. And that means a lot of things, but it works right here. Because I have, and you have, a spiritual resource that helps us to live lives that are honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And when I see my thoughts going in a different direction and in a different way and beginning to pull me down and drag me down, I don't have to stay there. We need corporate worship. If anybody's heard me preach for a month, you have to understand that I believe in corporate worship. But we don't have to wait until Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday night to be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord because we are believer priests. That there is a dynamic that comes to our lives because we are fellowshipping with other believers. You understand that. You know that I encourage that and I talk about that. So I'm not making light of that. What I am saying is that in Christ Jesus, He has given us the resource that we can live victoriously day by day, walking in fellowship with Him. Do you talk to yourself? Well, the weapons in our walk, and third and finally, in winning, and that's found in verse 6. Would you look at it for a moment in your Bibles? The Scripture says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience." In other words, just a holy disgust. That's my words, not anybody else's. Just to have a holy disgust of being disobedient. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience that is within me and in my old nature when your obedience is fulfilled, when your obedience is complete. What is the Scripture saying? It's saying and it's challenging us as believers to be victorious in our Christian life. I care about my testimony. Do you care about yours? I care about whether I am representing Christ in the right way. I care about my witness. I care about my testimony. I care about my Lord. And because He has invested His blood in me, I care for His sake. No, I'm never going to represent Christ perfectly. But as long as I have my right mind, I'm going to try to be the best witness that I can be. And I want the Holy Spirit who lives within me to be directing the way I live, the way I talk, the way I represent Christ, the attitude that I have toward Him, the attitude that I have toward others. And so, as a believer, I need to talk to the Lord. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Now, that's quite a list, isn't it? What's true, what's honest, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, what's good report. Think on those things. Talk to yourself about those things. Don't listen to that old nature. Think God's thoughts after Him. I'm almost done. One verse and one hymn. Not a hymn that we're going to sing. But we're going to look at one verse and we're going to look at one hymn together and then we'll close the service. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The message, in fact, there were several messages on the theme of what I'm talking about this morning. Harold Vaughn didn't preach any of them, as far as I recall, in that couple's retreat there in October. He didn't bring any message, any sermon. But he did make this statement based on Proverbs 28:13, and it ties into what we're looking at this morning. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, this is Harold's commentary on that verse. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. How do you like that? Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Boy, that's good. That'll preach. And that is Proverbs 28:13. Admit it. We do wrong. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it to the Lord. Forget it. God has. Forget it. Quit it and forget it. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Don't keep making the same mistake over and over and over and over again. And child of God, let me say one more thing about that. If you have a besetting sin in your life, don't come to the point in your life where your old nature says you're never going to win. You're never going to be victorious. You're never going to conquer that one. In the flesh, you won't. But in Christ Jesus, you can. Okay, I said we're going to look at a verse. We're going to look at a hymn. And we're going to sing a hymn. Turn to hymn number 245, if you would. Denny, Greg, and you other song leaders, I'm not about to lead a song here at this point. I want to make sure I have this right. Yes, it is. Okay. I was talking to myself yesterday, reviewing this message, not with an open Bible and an outline, but I was just running it through my mind, and this hymn came to my mind, and I thought, yep, that's it. There is a person that is talking to themselves. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Is he praying? No. He's talking to himself. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Is he speaking to God? No, not directly. He's talking to himself about God. I have to leave to God to order and provide. In every change, he will be faithful. Verse 2, be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored, be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. He's speaking to himself. Is it honoring to the Lord? Absolutely. Is it pleasing to the Lord? Absolutely. Is it worthy of the Lord? Absolutely. But he's talking to himself. He is seeking before God to bring every soul into conscious obedience to Christ Jesus. Not to let his mind run anywhere it will. In wrong kind of desires, lusts, wrong kind of fantasies, wrong imaginations. He is seeking to talk to himself and to be honoring to the Lord. Let's pray together.